Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. For this week's podcast, I speak to business executive coach and Mulford native, Brendan McBride, and Deirdre Bradley, chairperson of the Cairn Donagh Traders Association and owner of Deirdre's at the Diamond. After 20 years in sales and marketing roles with leading brand names, Brendan McBride's career path took on a different direction when he decided to train as a business executive coach in 2006. Brendan's willingness to help others, along with his lifelong passion for business, have combined to make the transition to business owner successful and rewarding.
Well, it's a story like everything, Kieran, and just a journey. I suppose it started about, in my past, I worked in a business. So I worked for different international businesses, Irish businesses, in leadership positions. And during that time, I was introduced to coaching as a leadership development program. And from there, probably 14 years ago now, I suppose, in time it moves pretty quickly, I started trained actually as an executive coach in the UK. And from that, then set up my own business. And so I'm working in that executive coach with individuals and with teams in that period of time, Kieran. It's a combination, I guess, of my career where I am to date, and I choose to come in a direction of helping people and developing people, whereas in the past, with my business background in probably 20-odd years working in sales marketing roles, that also has helped me, and it helps you as an executive coach to understand the business context was really, really important. So executive coaching with a business background sets me quite well up to help individuals, companies and teams.
Business has always been very much part of your life, Brendan. You grew up, your parents had a shop in Mulford.
That's right, Kieran, yeah. I guess from school age, back whatever age I was, national school, worked in the shop. My father, probably prior to the shop, he was actually worked on a farm, and he saved up, I guess, in that context and bought a business. Probably against the odds of time in Mulford, it was a thriving town. He moved into a premises that had been run there, and developed that business and was quite successful. So that was ingrained in me from early days. I enjoyed it, hard work. There's no such thing as hours. Lunchtime was kind of, the door was closed for the hour, but at probably 1:15 we got closed and meant to open at 2, and the bell rang again at 1:45. And so people were coming and going, deliveries, meeting people, driving the country around the whole Thanet, the Roskilde Peninsula, really interesting times. And just seeing how business was done and how traveling salespeople came in, how they waited, how they took the orders, got orders. And quite interesting as well, probably many stories about how people came in and wanted to talk and meet my father. He was a man with all the knowledge, and they waited in line almost, and you know, didn't maybe want to deal with everyone, whereas himself was always the line. So yeah, that was ingrained in me, stacking shelves, all those things you do, and really a great passion for business, and it set me up for life. Yeah.
That sowed the seed, obviously, for your path to what you ended up taking then.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess, I suppose it's fair to say my father, you know, he didn't say you have to stay in this business. You know, went to school in the Red of Milford with the nuns, and then lucky enough, just, you know, had a leaving cert, you know, and went to Limerick, actually, which was a long way from Donegal at that particular time. So that's times kind of before, I think Fianna Donal's bus was just started the years before that to Galway. So a Sunday leaving Kilmacrenan, about I think 1:00-ish that time, and 12 o'clock at night to Limerick. So two private buses, and I wasn't back. So there was no back and forward every weekend. You were down for 11 weeks. The real advantage about going to Limerick, in that context, it was a new college, it was NIHE back then. Ed Walsh was the president, and he was really, really forward thinking. So there was what they called was co-op, so work experience. And I got two very, very good placements back then. One was Allergan in Westport, and the second one, which I ended up working full time for a long time with him, which was Galty / Dairy Gold. And that was a large company, really in the Golden Vale in Mitchelstown. And I learned a lot from that. I was very lucky to get that work experience with them. And so the business studies course certainly helped me, yeah.
And what followed then after your time with Galty, Brendan?
My time with Galty, I stayed with them for a number of years, and I worked in the US with them, and then I came back, and actually I was in Belfast as well. So following that, I moved into different companies, and one of them was actually a beverage company. It was Tennent's, so I worked with them actually in Letterkenny, even though I was based in Dublin and from Donegal, I was back in Letterkenny in Sligo. So I looked after the Northwest region, and again, met a lot of people through that in the vintners and in the pubs and the hotel sector. And everywhere I went, I have to say, in business and even with Galti, everyone was very good in a nice way to me. Yeah. We worked with the customer, you worked with them hand in hand. And, you know, people were very fair, but firm as well. Yeah. So nothing was easy, but we all agreed and we all worked out what had to be done. Yeah. And in Belfast, a lot of that. I went to Belfast actually in 1990. And it was a very, very different Belfast than it is now, as we know, back to the 90s. First time actually in Belfast, I think, to work. I don't even think actually, you know, I didn't even visit Belfast prior to then. So I tell lots of stories about that. But again, I positioned myself that it was cross-community, worked with both customers in at that stage. It was Stewart's, then Tesco's, Dunn's, Wellworth's, and built a lot of good contacts. And again, people were very, very good, fair, loyal, and built up substantial trade in Northern Ireland for the Galti Mitchelstown brands.
And in 2006, you decided to go a different route?
Yeah, I guess that entrepreneurial kind of spirit was there. We had been living in Monaghan at the time, myself and my wife Mairead, and I suppose a few things were coming up, and we wanted to move back to Donegal because I had still a passion for Donegal. I was travelling up and down a lot of weekends, different activities, and we had a young family, so we moved back, and at that time, there's a lot of change. So I moved back. There was a lot of things going on within the role that I'd been working in. And this opportunity came up solely that I had to invest for. So it was not just an opportunity, but it was a huge investment from my part as well to buy into a coaching brand, to trainings at coaching brand. And that was executive coaching out of the UK. And at this particular time, that number of years later, I'm actually one of the partners within that business. So there's another four partners and myself, five, spread globally, who own that brand now. So not only did I buy into the brand initially, invest in myself in training, but paid a substantial money to actually train myself back then when executive coaching was quite new. But that has, you know, returned four, five, six, whatever fold, not just in monetary terms, but in experience. In experience of meeting people, traveling the world, and in coaching and seeing different businesses. So when I'm working with different businesses now, I can see almost everything is going on within the business, how the leaders operate, how the teams operate. And I can work with them. I can move to another business and see some of that, either bring some of that learning or instill in the team I'm working with the learning that, you know, they may want to pass on. So it's quite interesting, yeah. So I have multitudes of businesses now that I can see acting on a weekly, monthly or an annual basis.
Looking back 14 years on now, was it a big gamble at the time, Brendan?
It's interesting your word gamble, Kieran. And I often think about it, yes, as was it kind of high stakes? Yes, truthfully, that was the case. But again, it depends on what one wants. And I always say to people, it's about your purpose. What is your purpose in life? Where do you want to be? And what do you want to do? So to realize your purpose, sometimes you have to take risks. You have to go for things that is not comfortable at that particular time. So yes, you could drive and have been driving a car, X value, prestige, all the rest, X salary. And to let that go, yeah, so what? You move on. So you let it go for a while and you build it up again, yeah? So it's about the purpose, really, that I always talk about. And as long as one is content and happy in that, and the circle around you is content with that, hence the family, and that you can do different things. So the role now is it's just part of my life. It just fits in with other things. It's not my whole life. Whereas in the past, working with large organizations, you might be working 12 hours a day, longer. Some people talk about burning the candle at both ends. And yes, you have to do that to a certain degree. But now it's a balanced life. So what we talk about in coaching sometimes is working the life balance. And I'd like to think I have an example of that.
How has COVID-19 impacted on you and your business over the last 8 months, Bryn?
It's impacted, Kieran, first of all, travel. So as a personal point of view of one-to-one in-person coaching, I don't do any of that anymore, for the moment anyway. So travel has taken me to Tokyo, it's taken me to South Africa, lots of different countries. So I haven't gone there, but I'm at a stage that I'm not necessarily missing that, because on the plus side, there's a lot of things I can be doing while I'm not traveling. And those things are either, what I like to say is continuing to educate myself. It's adding new skill sets. It's looking at what different things I can do, and also being more time around home, around family. And then, I guess, another passion I have is sport as well, and athletics and triathlon. So I can actually spend some time doing that aspect as well. The upside is coaching can be done online, so virtual. We've been doing quite a lot of that anyway, but probably in the past, maybe pre-COVID, it's probably maybe 20-25% of activity or connecting with people. Now it's 100% virtually. But again, with technology, I think what's happening is you have got to invest in that technology. You've got to have the proper follow-up. You have to use what we call in coaching coach bots, that you have coaching artificial intelligence systems that are working for you, helping you. So that's all investment, that's all learning. So one of the plus sides is I have time to think, you have time to educate, and time to see what new systems are out there that can make things easier for me, rather than almost saying, well, what time I have to be at the airport? What time do I need to leave Carrickfinn to arrive in Dublin and the airport to get a connecting flight to wherever in Europe in that context? So yeah, it's taken that away, but again, that's just part of what I would say in coaching or in any business person's world is that's just part of the change, and it's about how you adapt and cope with that change is the key.
Is there more of a demand for the service you provide now since the last 8 months?
I would say yes, Kieran, there is. There's different aspects. It's just slightly changed. So rather than maybe high performance and things like that, it's about how you can help people connect with their teams. So when you have an imaginary leader and you have his team dispersed, the thing about it is they're dispersed globally now, or even they're virtually maybe a local company and they would have their people dispersed. So what skill set does that leader need now that he hadn't got before when he was in face-to-face contact with them? So it's a different skill set, a different behavior. So that is certainly a new area. And the other area has come up quite a lot is team coaching. So how do you work with team as a team? So how do you help the team develop as a team rather than individuals necessarily within that team? And that's a whole new area as well. And that's progressed tremendously in the last probably year. It's a new area of coaching, but certainly you can see lots of companies who are looking for that, because what they really want and what the outputs and the outcomes of that is, how can they retain staff? How can staff stay loyal to them rather than being virtually saying, okay, I will connect with someone in, for my sake, for more money in Europe somewhere. There's no reason why, because they don't have to travel. Or in Cork or Dublin rather than Donegal. So how do you keep people loyal? How do you keep your good, loyal staff? That's really, really important through that.
Have you noticed the lack of loyalty been a problem for employers, Ben?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say, but what I would say to you is, Kieran, is that because it's now in all a virtual world, everyone is virtual and all things are equal almost. Whereas in the past, if someone was going to be working in Letterkenny, they would travel to the office in Letterkenny, and that was their loyalty to that Letterkenny. But now, because they're virtually working, even though they may be living nearby, Donegal somewhere, well, they're saying to themselves, well, why can't I work virtually with a company that might be Cork-based or Dublin-based or in that context. So that's really, really important for the leaders within that business. How do they keep people focused, engaged? That's just one aspect of the loyalty. The other aspect, Kieran, would be about how can we be more productive? How can we get more delivery through people? And you can see actually people are actually more productive. Quite interestingly, you can see that coming through, that they're more productive working virtually because sometimes they can have systems and they can have look at things, okay, let's need to get this done by whatever, maybe less coffee breaks and things like that. The more difficult aspect is the whole interpersonal part of that. So, and you can see some things coming out at the moment to help that. So how can they have the coffee talk almost virtually? Rather than saying when we get into a team meeting, it all has to be about business and they miss the coffee kind of doc chat. So how can they do that and how can teams do that? So we can help them with those types of things. So having different avenues and different approaches to working with the team to get to a area or in a position that they want to be continue to perform at their best.
I'm sure you've come across many a scenario with different companies and different workplaces, Brendan. Mm-hmm. Is there one specific situation that you can mention that where something was going maybe not so well and when you were finished that you had an outcome that you sort of set up and that you were very happy with?
Okay, well, there's a lot there, Kieran, in that. I need to think on that. I guess, you know, lots of companies, the outcome would be at the initial stages of coaching, and I'm going to focus this really on teams more so, they would say that they want to increase their performance. So that means a lot to different people. And what is this increased performance? So in coaching, we always have to kind of look at what else is there. So asking questions around, well, what would it look like? What would it feel like? But there's a whole lot of things that are connected to this performance that they may not tell us initially. And then when we have interviews, when I interview with a team, individual members initially, they would tell me lots of what's going on. So sometimes it comes back to interpersonal. So there's lots of things around the interpersonal relationships. It could be conflict, it could be roles, responsibilities in those aspects. So there's many different parts, but what I would really look at in the context of who their commissioners are, so who and what's the purpose of this team. So what are their purpose? Is this really what they understand their true purpose to be and why we are as a team? So sometimes teams are teams, but they're not really sure of, well, why we are as a team. It might sound strange, but really don't sit back and go, okay, well, what are we meant to be doing here? Once they've figured out, they got their purpose, they got their roles, responsibilities, and those things sorted out. So it's quite interesting that. So yes, there's examples, Kieran, that actually I was just working, believe it or not, today with a person who is, when I met them initially, it was about that individual was very much low in confidence. They didn't really connect with their team. And there are certain words kind of said about individuals about being disconnected. I'll use the word disconnected from their team. And he was probably, he didn't understand this, what was happening for him. So through the coaching, and I've been working with that individual 11 months now, and that person now has been, he's not actually, it's not locally, so it's within Ireland. So that person now is in a position that he is now being appointed to a senior directorship role within the business. And again, it's going through those interpersonal aspects. So what I would describe is about initially what we looked at, it's like a Formula One car, or it's like a brand that the listeners may pick and say, what's their preferred sports car? So for argument's sake, everyone maybe look at different brands, but I'll pick a Ferrari or a Maserati for the moment. And we talk about the individual, it's physiology first of all. So this is the fuel that goes into the individual, the fuel, what they eat, what they drink, that type of thing, physiology. So that affects our emotional or their emotional well-being. If emotional well-being isn't correct, then performance won't be right. And that's their emotional landscape, high energy, low energy, and how that works. The second thing I would look at is their whole mindset, the psychological aspect is their mindset. So back to the car analogy again, if all the parts aren't working right, the computer isn't working right within the car, something glitches, then things change. So growth mindset, what their beliefs, what their thoughts. Am I good enough in this person we just talked about earlier on? Am I good enough to be in that position? Is it okay for me to be here? Or do I deserve to be in this position of senior leadership? And that actually goes through people's head. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Their productivity, I talked to you about. So the Maserati or the Ferrari will go at X, whatever it is, in 60, up to, what is it, up 2 or 5 seconds in so many, many seconds, yeah? That's about the competencies of productivity. So how do people show their outputs? And again, what do I do for the team? What can I do for the business? We talk about return on what people capital employed. We talk about a return on investment. What can I do for stakeholders, in the stock exchange, those types of things. What can I do for those? So that's the whole productivity side. Another side is persuasion. And so this is the car. So imagine the persuasion, a red Ferrari or a yellow one or whatever it may be. In that context, and just take you back, I remember when I was in Beijing coaching, is walking along the street, and the shop fronts were all full of Ferraris, like, you know, whereas in Ireland it's, you know, clothes shops or drapery stores or whatever you might want to say. So, you know, one was green, yellow, whatever. And I was like, what's going on here? So the persuasion aspect of those on the people walking past was huge. So how can you persuade people through impact, your influence, in those types of things? And it's really, really key to influence all your stakeholders. So in that context of that individual, so how could that individual who's just been promoted influence the new stakeholders, the bosses above them, the people below them? So that leads all to what we call performance, yeah?
There must be a lot of job satisfaction from what you do, Brendan.
There is, Kieran. I have to say I'm really lucky and blessed, actually, what I'm doing. Number one, meeting a lot of people, but secondly is how I help them. I hope I help them to perform differently, act differently, and to be more aware of themselves. So the value I get out of it actually is, you know, monetary is also important to keep me alive and keep my family going, but it's about how I see them differently walking out of a meeting, how they buzz, how they step, how you almost walk in air, some of them, and just seeing them progress. So there's a lot of value, and you know, I'm just part of it as well. I always talk about a partnership, so I'm just part of that partnership. The person who I'm working with or the team I'm working is the other partnership, so they have to help themselves to go through this development as well. So yeah, there is a good bit of satisfaction, Kieran. Yeah.
Finally, what does 2021 hold for Brendan McBride and his coaching career?
Well, I guess COVID's still going to be here, but apart from COVID, like, you know, we have all plans, and I have plans as well. I would hope that team coaching certainly is a new area, a newer area. It's a growth area within this island, and that I continue to do what I'm doing. And I'd hope that I interact with more people. I'd probably like to stay local. I do work with some companies locally, but certainly I'd like to look at that aspect, Kieran, and just see where it goes in 2021. I don't have any, you know, I've all budgets and those types of things that sometimes you have to kind of let them go just for the moment, and see where I can learn more, grow more, interact more with people, and so let's see where it goes. Yeah.
That was Brendan McBride, Business Executive Coach. Last month, Carndonagh was named as the most enterprising town in Ireland in its population category. According to Deirdre Bradley, chairperson of the Carndonagh Traders Association and owner of Dairies at the Diamond, the Bank of Ireland Begin Together Award has given the area and the local business community a huge lift in what are extremely challenging times.
We were absolutely thrilled to win the national award. Out of all the bleak and sad and mournful days, it was a very exciting time. And we were thrilled to be part of it. It's a great experience. I would encourage anybody to do it. Brilliant.
How did the Carndonagh Trade Association set up?
We set up 2 years past. It was actually because of the golf. And we wanted to sort of support John Farn and the Ballyliffin Golf Club. So there was a few of us in the shop here one day, and we sort of thought, what will we do something, or will we not, or what could we do? So I suggested we would maybe call a meeting down the Wesley Hall, and each of us would invite five or six people, business people, to come along. So we did, and 35 people turned up, and we invited John Farnan to speak, and we thought it was going to be a one-off thing. And the next thing we realised, to organise this, we needed to set up a bank account. We needed a bit of money. So we all said we would put in 100 euros, every business would put in 100 euros. And then we realised we needed a committee to do this. So hence, that's how I ended up chairperson, and Davin and Elaine as officers. And we came up with the name Traders Association. And within the 2 years, we ran two carnivals, two Live of the Marquees, and a New Year's Eve extravaganza. And we've won a regional award and a national award. So we're doing not too bad. And all because of a conversation. So it's good to talk.
Were you surprised at how successful the association has been in that short space of time, Deirdre?
Yeah, I am, because I have been involved in community groups before. But this is a very special sort of a group, because we're all traders and we're all different sectors, and we've all different, we've all got different ideals, and we all are managers of our own business. So when we want something done, we don't just talk about it. We just are in there, just like our own business, and we get it done. And we're very, very proud of what we've achieved. But we couldn't achieve it only for the input of the people involved. So as a lot of people say, oh, Deirdre Bradley and Davin and Elaine or whatever, it's everybody. And sometimes hard to get that across, that it's a full team effort. And we are extremely proud. And winning the Bank of Ireland National Award was just the icing on the cake. Just a pity we didn't have Kilkenny to go to this year. We had a great time last year. But no, it's fantastic. And of course, the 10,000. Now we are hoping to get, hopefully, our vouchers and a new website for Carndonagh.
You mentioned the Irish Open back in 2018. Obviously, a huge event for the area, and it really put Carndonagh and the peninsula of Inishowen on the map worldwide.
Yes, it did. And that is one of the things that has come out of having the Traders Association. Having the Traders Association and winning the award, not only is it, first it's Carndonagh, second it's Inishowen, and third it is all of Donegal. And I think that's what makes it extra special, because it has put Carn on the map, and it's put our businesses. And you know what? It's given us a bit of courage to look for more. You know, it's given us that wee bit of a drive to say, well, you know what? We want Carn to be a destination, not a drive-through. So, and it's really given us that bite for it.
Talk to me about 2020.
Well, a year to try not to remember, but a year to remember. It's been a really tough, tough year. And every month you think this couldn't get any worse. And every month it seems to throw something more at us. But you know that old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We, as the Traders Association and myself as a business person, I have to say that we have developed ourselves so much stronger. Yeah, in a very different way. And it's not the nicest way to be trading, having people standing outside in the cold and clicking and collecting. But it's given us a different way of thinking about business. You just come in every day and you've done what you had to do. Now you're looking at different ways of contacting different people. But also it gives you that wee bit of empathy too, to other businesses and to other people. And like customers that would come in to me for a blether and a chat and maybe even have a cup of tea. You can't do that anymore. So you're reaching out in other ways to connect with them. So it's good thinking outside the box, you know.
How challenging has the Level 5 restrictions, we're in the third week of it now, and I know you spoke about your frustration on Greg's show a number of weeks ago. When we talked off air, things have settled a bit, and the support locally has been very, very good, Deirdre.
it's been utterly amazing, and I am blown away by it. When I went on the Greg Hughes show that day, and I was angry, I was frustrated, I was emotional, and everything came out. I was very teary, and I was heartbroken for all my fellow colleagues who have put so much money into their businesses. And you know it is difficult. I find it difficult. But it has, from that step of us going into level four and then to be thrown into level five, we're all thinking very differently and we're all working together. Even businesses in Letterkenny are helping businesses in Carn. People are helping business in Buncrana, which is lovely. And the outpour from people away to support you. Like literally this morning, I had a girl in England. She had booked some stuff for Click and Collect and she was paying for it. And she says she would normally be away to Amazon doing all her buying. She has bought nearly every gift. She's not even coming home for Christmas, but she is buying and supporting all the local shops. And I think it's fantastic. So out of every downpour of rain comes a ray of sunshine.
How have you found the Click and Collect system, Deirdre?
In the beginning, I was finding it really difficult because I'm not very technical. But I am getting a bit, I have got a lot better. As you can see, there's bags and bags of stuff there. There's like 65 bags there for collection.
Which is great. It's great business.
It is. It's very, very good business. And it's keeping the wheels turning. And when we get those doors open again in December, we will be welcoming everybody with open arms. It took me a little bit of getting used to. And on out of all this, I have a new website. Hopefully it'll be live next weekend for my 6th anniversary. Hopefully we'll have it up and running by next weekend. Now, I've been kicking that can down the road for quite a long time. But this has made me go, and thankfully to two very, very good friends who came to me after being on the Greg Hughes show and said, listen, we want to help you. We're not experts, but we want to help you get up, pick you up again, shake you down and give you back your mojo. So we've been working on that for the last 10 days and hopefully, as I say, we'll have it up and running for my anniversary next weekend.
That's a good example of networking and good networking.
Yes, and it is great. And people are talking again for the first time in a long, long time. And it's okay to say, I'm quiet, I'm not doing well, oh my God, I'm worried. That is normal. Whereas before, everybody, you'd say, how are you getting on? Oh, grand, busy, aye, no, it's great, everything's great. It's okay now not to be great. It's okay, and I think that's what will make us all much, much stronger. And as I say, the support from people in our own areas and far beyond, I'm blown away, amazing, absolutely fantastic. So do you know what? From a very, very bad day, I think it's going to be, it will end up good, please God. But it only end up good on how you take it and how you treat people. And like, I am so grateful, so, so grateful for all the Click and Collects. And, you know, it might be two masks at a tenner or it could be a coat at 160. It means that 10 euro means as much to me as the big sale, because that means that they're thinking about you and they want to support you. They don't have to, but they want to support you. And the other traders in town are all saying the same thing. They are just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is the mood like among the traders now?
Every one of us has picked ourselves up again. Now, that week that the restrictions were re-announced, our chins were really on the street. Like, we were cried out, we were coffeed out. There was probably another COVID stone put on, comfort eating. But no, we've shook ourselves down and we've said, right, it is what it is. We've got to take it. We've got to do it. We've got to see how well we can survive this storm. As I always say, we're all in the same storm, but we're all steering different boats and we're all looking to get to the land. So we're just taking different avenues and we are all really supporting one another. You know, if one of us has a bad day, there's always somebody there to pick you up. And that is the lovely thing about the Traders Association. because when you're a sole trader, it is a very, very lonely place, because you don't have that partner or whoever to sit down and cry with. But now I've got 80 of them, and it's great.
It would be much more difficult there if you hadn't that network at the moment.
I don't know if I would have been able to cope, to be honest, because I need people, and I need people around me. It's just the type of person I am. And see, when COVID kicked in and we closed all our doors on the 14th of March, and we turned the tourist office next door into like a centre for help for all traders that were closed, and then the ones that were open. It was great, because you felt that you were part of a family and part of a team. And, you know, as we always say, together we can do it, but alone you can't.
I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back to as near normal as possible coming the start of December for the Christmas rush and for the Christmas parade, Deirdre.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to get the doors opened again and the shop tidy, because it's like a bomb site. I can't wait to welcome my customers in and let them use the fitting rooms and not have them standing out in the cold, just handing them out a bag. It's not my way. It's not any of our ways. I'm really looking forward to it and to many years to come. And I really want to take this opportunity to thank each and every single person who has helped me so much. I had a bereavement there 2 weeks ago. I lost my brother, and we thought the day I was in Greg Hughes that our world could get any worse. It was turned upside down. And like that, with the help of the people and the support that we're getting, even that has been made that little bit easier. And I just think people need each other, and they need to be kind, and they need to be caring. And if anything good has come out of 2020, that is definitely it.
Finally, Deirdre, what does 2021 hold for Deirdre Bradley and Deirdre on the Diamond?
Well, hopefully we will be able to keep going as best we can. And I would love to think, as I said to you earlier, I'm celebrating my 6th anniversary now on next Friday the 13th, be it lucky or not. I would like to think that it's upwards and onwards and something better. And I'd love to think, I've always said, I'd like to grow old and retire. I would like to say go grey, but if I didn't have the colour in, I would already be grey. But I would like to think that I will be here to retire, and all my colleagues as well, and all the other shops. And on this note, I would love to wish everyone a very successful season, and hope that everybody does well in business. But most of all, everybody look after their own health and well-being, because without your health, there's no need for wealth. And that is the most important thing.
That was Deirdre Bradley, chairperson of the Cairn Donagh Traders Association. That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Brendan McBride and Deirdre Bradley. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.